James chapter 4, verse number 5 to 8. I will start from there. I'd like you to maybe read along with me, or in reverence of the Word of God, we'll stand and read this verse. Maybe it's good to read responsibly. I will read verse number 5. You respond verse number 6. And we'll read together in verse number 8. I'll start from verse number 5. You respond verse number 6. The Bible says, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Together, verse number 8. "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, to ask your blessing once again. Lord, give us victory in our service this morning. And Lord, and even as we continue on, I pray, O God, that your name will be glorified and magnified. Lord, we come to you because, Lord, it is heavy in our heart to see our country, our nation, our young people, the families, O God, being attacked by the enemy. And I pray, O God, that you will help us and help this country and this nation, that, Lord, we can stand for you and that we can win more souls for your glory and honor. Bless, Lord, the revival meeting, and I pray that your name once again will be magnified in this place and even, Lord, throughout this land. We commit to you everything now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The focus that I'm going to share to you this afternoon is found in verse number 8. Verse number 8 is our text. "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." That is the phrase there in verse number 8 that's really astonishing. I look at this verse, I look at this phrase for several weeks now. When Pastor Shane gave us the text, I tried to work on this verse. "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." God wants us to have a close fellowship with him. And there's no question about that. There's no question God's intention in building that close relationship with us. But my friend, this phrase is really interesting to me. How could we fathom upon the thought of the holy God? He is a holy God exerting effort to reach out to us. A God that is holy, trying his best to, you know, connect with us. And I think that is not really hard to understand. But again, deep within our minds, within our hearts, we see this question. How can a God so holy wanted, you know, to fellowship with us? King David has posed the same question. King David said in Psalm chapter 8, verse number 3, he spoke and he said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Such a question of the disparity between God and us. And again, that same question re-echoed by Apostle John in different tone, different manner, different wordings in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. He said, "Behold, what manner of love that the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Maybe it may be hard for us to understand this. But I will tell you, my friend, that God is indeed interested to get close to us. However, while it is true that God is initiating these efforts to fellowship with us, but his proposal, my friend, the proposal of God does not come without a requirement from him. There is a requirement that God, one thing to be done first. Draw nigh to God. The next phrase is, and he will draw nigh to you. Oh yes, I come to the Lord. I come to pray. I always come to the Lord. I always, before I start the day, I pray. Before I finish the day, I pray. I drew nigh to God. And how is it that God is not coming to me? I will tell you, my friend, remember that our God is holy God. He is a holy God. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14, very common verse, but this is really the heart of revival. This is where the revival can come out. He said here, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Our God is interested in hearing our prayers. Our God is interested in forgiving our sins. He's interested in, my friend, in healing our land, our New Zealand. He is interested in healing the land. But first of all, I want you to see that there is a requirement. There is a requirement. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which had called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. But as he, a pattern of holiness. God sets the pattern of holiness, my friend. But as he which had called you is holy, so be holy. In our text, go back to our text. In James chapter 4, verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. My friend, God is calling us to holiness. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. As much as God wants to create closeness with us, but this must be done according to his terms. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion had light with darkness? And what concord with had Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There is a requirement of holiness. God is very clear before he will come to us, before he will draw nigh to us. You have to draw nigh to God, but there is a requirement, and that is the requirement of holiness. Our God is a holy God. If you look at that in Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 2. Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 2. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his feet, face. With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. My friend, you understand this morning that this offer to draw nigh to God has a requirement of God's holiness. We cannot. And we will never be able to come. And God will never be able to come down to us unless the Lord will see also in our hands that are clean. The Lord Jesus Christ that we are serving is a holy God. He is holy. We understand that he came to this earth and became flesh, but his humanity doesn't diminish his deity. He always is holy. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And again, as we look at it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. God said of old, be ye holy because I am holy. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. A patterned holiness. I'm glad Pastor Jono was speaking about that pattern of justification by faith. There was a pattern set forth by Abraham. A pattern of justification by faith. Then he said a while ago, a pattern to live a holy life. That is exactly what maybe, I don't know, I did not speak with Pastor Jono, those verses that he used, it's supposed to be, you know, I will use most of them. But I don't know why the Lord is putting this together. I believe, my friend, there is a message here. God wants righteousness in us, first and foremost, before he can make the land. He can heal the land, a pattern of holiness. And secondly, not just a pattern of holiness, we also see here a practiced humility. A practiced humility. Not according to our view, but according to God's view. Humility. James chapter 4, verse number 6. Verse 6 here it says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Now, if I ask you this afternoon, what is God's view of homosexuality? I think the obvious answer is very clear in the Bible, because we read our Bible, we know that, you know, homosexuality is an abomination to the Lord. And you know that, and I know that, and our answer to that may be right, because Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 13, speaks that for a man to lie with a man or a woman to lie with a woman is an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So no doubt, that kind of lifestyle is abomination to the Lord. Now, notice this. If I ask you also, what is God's view on pride? What is God's view on pride? Now, let's take a look at the Bible again in Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16. The Bible says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." Verse 17 says, "A proud look." Abomination. A proud look. Proverbs 16, verse number 5. Proverbs 16, verse number 5. "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." Brothers and sisters, Christians, fellow believers, we got to be very careful to pick one sin over the other. Because our nature is ready to point the evil sin of Sodom as an abomination. And we tend to forget the evil sin of pride. You may say, "Thank God I'm not a homosexual." But you are proud. If you look at it very closely, my friend, it is of the same degree. Abomination to the Lord. We think the sin of pride is an acceptable abomination. And we think also the sin of, you know, sodomy as an unacceptable. But they are both the same. In the same level. That is why my title here is, you know, this must be done according to God's practiced humility. Humility according to God's view, not according to our view. It must be God. What kind of humility God wants us to have? Do you know that to live your life without prayer is pride? To go through the day and never come to God in prayer is pride. Making big decisions in your life, moving to another place without seeking God's will is pride. Going through the day without prayer is pride. It's like saying, "Lord, I can handle this. Don't worry, I can handle this. Lord, God, when I get to the hospital, then I will call on you. Lord, if I have trouble with police or the court, then I will call on you. Lord, when there is tsunami or earthquake or volcanic eruption, then I will call on you." My friend, God in your life becomes a spare tire rather than a steering wheel. We will only use him when we break down. God is for emergency use only. My friend, to go through the day, to go through your life without prayer is pride. well, I don't need God's direction. I don't need God's will in my life. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. My friend, how much we should be dependent upon God every moment of our lives. That is why humility, not according to our view, humility according to God's view. That is why we need a practiced humility in our lives. Especially when we come in the service of the Lord, it cannot be done with pride. Because that is abomination to the Lord. A patterned holiness. A practiced humility. Number three and last, we see a requirement of a purified heart. God wants this done in our life. James chapter 4, verse number 8 again. James chapter 4, verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 26. I want to explain this, why I titled this Purified Heart, but let us see later on. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 26, he said, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As the Lord God in heaven initiates the efforts to be close to us, and time and again, he found us showing behavior of indifference toward God. Many Christians showing this indifference toward God without them knowing it. God expressed his complaints against the people of God. And God expressed his complaints against the culture of religion. In Matthew chapter 15, verse number 8. Matthew 15, verse number 8. The Bible says, these people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Wow. They come to church every single week. They give their money to the church every single time. And then God found this, that their hearts are very far away from him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And many of us understand this, and many of us, for the best that we can do, we try our best to follow God in this. And Pastor, I already give my life to God. I surrendered my life to God. I'm not my own. I am bought with a price. I understand that. Now, my friend, God exactly wants to win your heart. He owns your life. He owns your time. He owns your talent. He owns your treasure. He owns everything about us. He owns everything that you can see and you cannot see. And on top of that, God longs to be the center of your life. Why? Because when he does, God knows that he then can take all of your being. You will be his. And he will have, the prerogatives of what he wants you to do, according to what really that needs to be done. The Lord our God has blessed us with so many blessings and provided us with all the things that we need. But sometimes the same blessings that we receive from him are the cost for us to drift away from God. Why? Because our hearts have yielded to selfishness. Our hearts have yielded to deceitful riches. And we shy away from God. While God has expressed his complaints, his people, my friend, slipped into a spiritual blunder. We slipped into a spiritual blunder. In what way, Pastor? Honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That is why God is calling all of us to purify your hearts. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know what? When God requires your heart, what does it really mean is that he requires your all. He is not expecting you to give him a part. He is not expecting you to give you portion, but He's expecting you to give your all. Then we say, I belong to God. I purely belong to God. I'm not my own. I am bought with a price. I know that. But why is it, while we say that we belong to God, why is it that we hang on to the things that make up our life? Our time, our talent, our treasure. We say that we belong to God, but why is it that we cannot give Him our time? Why is it that we cannot give Him our talent? Why is it that we cannot give Him our treasure? We say that we belong to God, we are not our own, but why is it that we hang on to the things that make up our life, our talent, our time, our treasure? I think I need someone's help here. Brother Cody, can you come? I'm finishing, bro, in just about 5 minutes, I'm done. But before I will finish, I have to do something here, because Brother Cody is a very good friend of mine. Can you come, Brother Cody? I will give you $10.
Sweet.
Before you touch my $10, I have a condition here. I want you to maybe take you some, you know, pizza, and we can eat together. But there's a problem. I'm leaving after the last service, after fellowship. I'm leaving. We have no time to do that. But what I'm going to do, I want to share pizza with you, half and half. But we cannot do it physically. Then what I'm going to do, I want you to buy half of the pizza for yourself. And half a pizza, I will buy for myself. And that is really good, you know, deal. But I think, do you think you can buy pizza with that? Will that work? Nah. That's half of $10 bill. If you go to the bank and say to the bank, you know, Pastor Cordelia, give me this half $10 bill. Can you change it to $5? Do you think the bank will give it to you? Nah. Is that what we're giving to God? We give God a part of our life. And I will tell you, my friend, the part that we keep to God is as worthless as the part that you give.
That's right.
Cannot be used. Okay, Lord, from now on, stay there, right? Stay there. From now on, Lord, I will give you my Sunday morning. I'm convicted with a message to be faithful, and I have not been faithful to my Sunday morning. I will give you my Sunday morning. Lord, it's all yours. I know it's hard, but I will try my best to give you my Sunday morning. But don't ask me Sunday evening. Don't ask me Wednesday evening. Okay, Lord, I will give you my part of my salary, my tithe. It's all yours. I know that. You want me to give my tithes, my offering. But Lord, if I can give my tithes, don't ask me to give to missions. I still have my life. I want money too, you know. You know, sometimes we give God a part. And we think that we have done something great. But I will tell you, my friend. If you give God your all, the Lord will accept it from you. Now, brother, I'll give you the other half. Put the sticky tape and you can buy pizza with that. But wait a minute. Is that not, you know, the truth of the Word of God? That if you give God your all, then the Lord can use you. Now, Brother Cody can use it. Because I give my part. Now, if you give your part to the Lord, the Lord will use you, my friend. And the Lord can use you mightily because He has a grip on you. He has the things that He wants you to do and accomplish in your life. You see, my friend, giving our all is what God requires. God requires the pureness of you. The Lord God requires the entirety of your heart, not part. That's why Christians this morning, this afternoon, draw nigh to God. And God wants to have a close fellowship with us. But first and foremost, attend to this, that He has a requirement of holiness. And when you do that, then the Lord will draw nigh to you. And again, the Lord wants you to have this requirement of humility. And when you do, the Lord will get close to you. He will draw nigh to you. And God requires a purified heart. In other words, God wants your all. And when you do, He will draw nigh to you. Can you give it to God? Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly